There are two instances in Scripture. There are two Gospels that give us what we know as the Lord's Prayer. It's Matthew and it's Luke. And in the Luke version, the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't ask Jesus to teach them anything else. They didn't ask him, teach us to preach, teach us on how to minister deliverance, teach us how to evangelize. But they did ask, Lord, teach us to pray. And then in Matthew's gospel, we find the response starting in verse 9 of chapter 6. And Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Can you say how? All right. Now, he did give them the actual prayer to pray. Yes. He gave them the what? The prayer. And the prayer is a powerful prayer. The prayer is effective. It checks off many critical areas pertaining to our lives that are important to us. And so he gave us the what, but almost as important was the how. He gave a model or a template or a track that we might run on. Now, people can certainly pray this prayer. People have done it for centuries, even religiously. How many of you know you can pray anything in a rote way? I mean, if you grew up in a liturgical situation, you can pray the liturgy, speak the liturgy, go through the responsive reading. You can go through the Book of Common Prayer, and it can be chock-a-block full of Scripture, but unless the heart is hot and alive, it could remain dead letter. Well, such is the case with praying, and Jesus addressed the Pharisees in that way to make sure that their confidence isn't in the what they were doing, but he was concerned about heart posturing. So certainly, it's a prayer that can be prayed and religiously, but it is a powerful prayer. How many of y'all grew up praying the Lord's Prayer? Sometimes you see these shows where a crisis enters into a situation, and all someone has is the Lord's Prayer. I remember, you know, you see these shows on Titanic, and they begin to go into, you know, the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father who art in heaven, which is great. I believe that he'll take anything that we offer up, but it would be better to have logged in a few years of secret history with the Lord, because in times of crisis, people usually revert to form, but God can still hear the heart's cry. So it can be religious, but it's a great prayer. I know my dad, several years ago, he contracted cancer, and while he was sick, this prayer became a very meaningful prayer to him. And again, it's chock-a-block full. It's rich in theology, it's rich in meaning. And I'll never forget on his last week, we were actually at the coast at Moorhead at Atlantic Beach, and he passed away on a Saturday, and so our last day was a Saturday, but I would go there all during the week just to check in on him. And on a Thursday, I showed up, and he had one of those up days. I mean, they had already prescribed, you're going to go from here to hospice, you know, and then, but we had no idea. We had no idea the time limit on his lifespan. And so, but we knew it was bad. We knew it was bad. And so, at any rate, I was there on a Thursday, and then his pastor had even come in, and my brother and my mother were there, and he was just unusually up for some reason. It was like an artificial high. We spent the whole day together. And before I left the room, he said, could we just pray the Lord's Prayer? So we all just joined hands together, and we just together just recited the Lord's Prayer. I mean, what does it take? A whopping 20 seconds to pray. But it was powerful, and it was sweet. And I walked out sniffing and wiping my eye, and I thought, you know, it doesn't get any better than this. And I knew in my heart of hearts, I thought, this was his swan song. I thought, it didn't get any better than this. I thought, this was it. It's like going out on a high. And then he began to drop. And then 2 days later, passed away and went to be with the Lord. So it is a powerful prayer. Don't want to mock that at all. But again, there's a modeling here. So let's just look at this prayer. Verse 9. Then he said, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, do you have a footnote possibly in your word? I do. And it talks about how the early manuscripts would say, for thine is the kingdom, or yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so that puts the punctuation on it there at the end. I know the King James and again other recorded translations include that as well. So again, my heart is to, I want to focus on the forgiveness aspect of this prayer. But first I thought, let's just do a little walkthrough and then we'll tee it up to that particular petition in the Lord's Prayer. But if you were to ask and inquire, what is the first petition of what we know as the Lord's Prayer? Many times we could easily think you would go straight into praying, your kingdom come, your will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. And that's a powerful petition. But actually, the very first demarcation that cannot be ignored is our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's a smart, wise way to enter relating with the Lord. There's an etiquette and there's a protocol into approaching the king. Just ask Esther. She was afraid that if he does not extend that golden scepter, it could be off with my head. I mean, if I die, I die, you know. And then she was encouraged, you know, by Mordecai, you know, you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Take the risk. Just go for it. And so, at any rate, there's a way that we find God. There's a way that we approach God. And so one of those ways is to hallow his name. In a day and in an age where his name is constantly being taken for granted, it's being used in vain, it's mocked, it's spurned. Y'all have heard us say before just this unusual obsession with his name. If people smash their thumb, they don't go, oh, Buddha, oh, Plato, Confucius. Oh, you know, they don't say Buddha damn. You know, they don't say that. They're always taking the name of the Lord and they're dragging it through the mud. Oh, Jesus Christ and GD. And why is that? Because it's the only name given under heaven whereby men are saved. And so we hallow his name. He has exalted his name, and we're to do the same. We're to honor the name that speaks of who he is, that speaks of his character, the God of Scripture, that is, you see. And so when we approach the king, the first order is our Father who art in heaven. Whoo, hallowed be thy name. I revere your name. I honor you and I celebrate you. I appreciate you, just like Reggie was appreciating the mercy of God. I don't take you for granted. I don't take your name glibly on my lips, but I recognize that you've allowed me entrance into your presence, which is a miracle that I could even stand in your presence without my head popping and my whole body coming apart, because you're so holy and you're so awesome that you would allow me to even come. People say, oh, how could a loving God, you know, allow someone to suffer or go to hell? I'm like, are you kidding me? How could a holy, perfect God allow a wicked, selfish, prideful, greedy man to come up into his presence? That's the question C.S. Lewis posed. Are we here? And so he is altogether holy and amazing. So we want to dignify him in a right way. So when we come, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, we have lists we want to pray through. We have petitions. They're intercessions. That's biblical. Petition, intercession. We're to ask, seek, and knock. That's good. That's biblical. We're to do that. But our first order of business is to honor him. We don't just come rushing in, gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you gimme. I mean, there's a place for asking God for our needs to be met. But we want to at least, and we're not humoring him because he knows if we are, like I'm going to stroke him a few times and then really go for the ask. No, that's like we're going to stroke him because he's worthy of being honored. And I can't tell you how many prayer meetings I have led over 30 years. I mean, how many like 2-hour long prayer meetings weekly that I have led. And all we did was worship God, and we never came down from that long enough to ask for anything. And then it was so rich, it was so deep, it was so good that finally when we thought, all right, what do we need? It's like, we don't need anything. I am fully satisfied. I am so satisfied, it would almost feel profane to ask for something right now. I've just had an amazing moment of romancing the king. This is good. My needs are met. Are we here? That's a whole nother bird than from coming in with our list. And there's a place for that, but it's not first place. The first thing we do is we give honor to where honor is due. You may not feel it. We may feel crusty. You have to, by faith, put your praise on. You have to start the engine, warm it up. You say, I don't feel it. Of course, that has nothing to do with the price of eggs. Do we know that? I don't feel it. How many of you know married couples, many times we don't feel married. You may not feel like going to work. I don't feel like doing this. We don't really inquire and ask ourselves, what do I feel? It is right and it is fitting, the psalmist said, to praise him and to honor him. So even if I have to offer up a sacrifice of praise, even if it's a little crusty on the front end, even if the engine's a little cold in the month of February, it's okay, it will warm up. And if I do it long enough, all of a sudden the current will shift, and instead of me trying to create something, the spirit of praise will come on me, and that current will begin to carry me, and it's like all the parts are now lubed and greased, and it is just pure joy. It's not by faith. It is pure joy. And any other place is like feeling as a fish out of water. It's like, I am created to be here before you, God. You can ask my family. I'm praying all the time. I mean, my motor is on all the time. It's just boom, 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 boom. I mean, it's like I'm always revving the engine. And it doesn't mean that we don't have extended times of stopping and being before the Lord. But even along the way and even throughout your day, whether a student, whether in the workplace, you can have a hot heart, cultivate a hot heart, and be reaching in your heart toward the Lord. And He receives that. Like Father Lawrence said, practicing the presence of the Lord, just practicing his nearness, developing friendship, cultivating intimacy. Salvation is free, but intimacy is according to hunger. It's a whole nother bird. How close do we really want to be? How near do we really want to be? It's a praise away. It's a prayer away. It's a worship song away. And I tell you what, when you're alone in the car and you got a trip, and it's like they're decisions that we make. And sometimes people even embarrass themselves to pray and praise. And it's kind of like, look, allow the false dignity, because that's what it is, to fall off. And go up, because He needs you to come up. You need to go up. And when we go up, He'll come down. And He responds to the etiquette of honoring Him as first place. Amen. And then things begin to work right. And now, when we begin to transition into your kingdom come, your will be done, we have the wind at our back. And then all of a sudden, we're asking from a place of anointing and a sense of His leadership versus just checking off things. I can't tell you how many times I've been in prayer and I've been dignifying the Lord, and out of nowhere, I felt permission for Him, ask me for this. I'm like, where'd that come from? There was a time we needed a car, and God said, ask me for a car. That very week, someone said, you know anybody who needs a car? I said, I do. 12 years ago when we relocated here, we had this roughed out attic. And I was thinking, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have an office there? And we were praying one morning, and just out of nowhere, after we're just going up, all of a sudden I felt this unusual confidence, ask for an office. And I it didn't feel presumptuous, because again, I'd been dignifying the king. And after an extended period, I felt the green light and permission to go ahead and ask. So I said, Lord, and this is bombastic, and it almost would feel presumptuous in the flesh. But I just said, God, I just pray someone would just come in here and knock out that roughed out attic and just build me out an office. Isn't that gutsy? With gumption? And I said, someone would just come, and they would just knock it out. I kid you not, 2 days later, a contractor in our church called me up and said, I feel like I'm supposed to build out your attic and build you an office. Now, we can foo-foo this stuff, or we can get on the train real quick. Hello? I mean, once you hear a few stories, you know, it's kind of like, well, that sounds pretty. I mean, we overcome him, Revelation says, by what? The blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, loving not our life, even unto death. So you can do the math. Well, that worked for him. Maybe there's some stuff over here. I'm living here, and bless God, I could have had a V8. You know, what's going on with the man? So, and so he's no respecter of persons. But again, my objective was just to be near him, to be with him. Then when I transitioned into declaring his kingdom to come, and I brought my needs before him, which are real, give us this day our daily bread. That's very real. We don't foo-foo that as if that's unspiritual. No, there's a place for that. But I'm telling you what, there is nothing like watching and observing the hand of God when we dare to ask, because we've been before the Lord, and it's as if he's saying, ask me. And ask me, I think it was Tozer who said, ask God largely. If God be your partner, make your plans big, okay? So ask him largely. Don't shoot 30-fold, 60-fold. Ask God largely. He's grandiose. Shoot for his best. Shoot for his highest. People think, well, I'll just kind of resign for this. And then I know I'll get married one day, but I'll just kind of resign for somebody who's maybe nice. No, you resign for God's highest for your life. Bless God, I'd rather be single than married to the wrong one. Hello? I mean, you wait on the Lord. You delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. He does all things well. He's perfect, and he makes our way to be perfect, okay? And so we trust him in that way, but we've got to dignify him, and I can tell we are not going to get through this prayer today. I've got a feeling it's just not going to happen. So maybe next week the students can get the forgiveness part. Maybe someone there needs it. Maybe you don't. Maybe you are clean as snow. I don't know. But at any rate... But do you see there's an ordering here? Our Father, relationship, connection. I'm a son. I belong. I'm clothed with righteousness. Heart in heaven. You think, hallow, revere, venerate, honor, esteem, recognize. It's a sophisticated term for honoring, venerate, esteem. I honor you. I honor your name. The things I don't always understand, but you've always been good, and I will not question your character. There are things that maybe will be explained in the next life, but I trust you because I know your character. And while many are profaning your name, I'll honor you. I will honor you. I will honor you. In any given time, people are profaning the name of the Lord with what they say, by what they do, by their activities, the injustice, the immorality, the debauchery, the dishonesty, the scheming, all that goes on just any given day. I'll never forget our friend Mike Bickle in Kansas City. I was at a conference there, and this was back in the, gosh, in the early 90s, like 90, 91, when the March for Jesus processionals were so powerful and so prolific. I think they started in England with Graham Kendrick. But they weren't protesting anything. They were only lifting up the name of Jesus. That was their only goal, was to honor him. So they could come together with Christians and churches from many different stripes. And it's like, we're just going to major on the majors and minor on the minors. And the only goal, the only objective is to go through the streets and lift up the name of Jesus. And they would march through the streets, not with banners with their church name on or protesting something. I mean, we're Protestants. We protested long enough. We want to be known for what we're for. Amen? And we do love that wonderful man, Jesus. He's amazing. So we look to him. But they were going through the streets, and there were singers, and there were banners, Jesus. And people were just walking and just praising God and just going. They had permission from the city to do so. And someone from the parade just stepped out of the procession and went to a public facility there, went into the ladies' room. And as she got in there, she noticed this lady just just bent over the sink and just weeping. And she's like, well, sweetheart, are you okay? What's wrong? She goes, I don't know. It's just the music and the exile. In other words, she didn't even have vocabulary for it. The presence of God through honoring the name was melting her and breaking yokes off of her. Because again, in any given day, there's all kind of vileness going on. But oh, who will hallow and honor and venerate and esteem him. So many things are blamed on him. Anyone here like to be falsely accused? Doesn't it feel good? It's exciting when someone's lying about you. Man, I just got a false accusation. Yeah, I like that. No, it's a fiery dart, is it not? You think about all the rap God has had to take. All the false rap. I mean, from the crusade. I mean, just all kind of things that, you know, are pegged on God. And he's like, I didn't have. I mean, people do goofy things. They can do it even in the name of their faith. I mean, people could go up. They could go down here and blow up an abortion clinic in the name of the Lord. And God's going, I had nothing to do with that. You need to find out my heart. Remember James and John, sons of thunder, calling fire down? He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. That's not my spirit. You can only have something if it's been given to you from above. That's why he could tell his disciples, put your sword away. Peter, don't you know, Peter? I could call down just multitudes of angels in this moment. But this is the agenda of the Father, and I'm going forward. I'm not insecure. I know who I am. I know who I am. But to honor him, to love him, oh, thank God for it. Oh, thank God for it. Hallowed be thy name. Our first order of business is always to revere him, to praise him. For the believer, we take the third of the Ten Commandments to heart. For the believer, we do enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. For the believer, we take the time to acknowledge him and worship him. There is etiquette and protocol in coming before the King. Now, it's interesting that when Jesus responded to the disciples' request, teach us to pray, it's interesting. It not only started with praise, but it bookended and it ended with praise. In other words, we're to be about praise all the time, just all through and through. We're to put our praise on. They started with our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and they ended, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. They worship him, ask for some stuff, and then worship him. That's wise. That's a good template. That's a very good model right there. It's the same way when we deal with people. You ever had an issue with someone? Praise them, encourage them, bring what you need to bring to them, and then sandwich it back with encouragement. We need about 80% encouragement to 20% of just stuff we have to work through, you see. And so he sandwiched the prayer, you see, in his wisdom. And thank God for that. Again, Psalm 33:1, we referenced it earlier. Sing joyfully to the Lord, ye righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Psalm 147:1, praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and what? Fitting to praise him. It's just plumb right to do. It's just plumb right to do, to honor him. Are we going to ask for the stuff? Yeah, but like God told one minister, he was praying about some stuff, and he said, you know, he said, many have married me for my money. In other words, I love it when you just come and you just want to be with me. I'm going to give you the stuff. I'm going to help you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide. But I love it when you come to me for me. I love that when you come to me for me. If we never ask for a thing, our 5 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour that we spend would be time well spent. Hallowed be your name. All right, after we settle that, then we can get some business done. What's the second demarcation? We transition from declaring his goodness, honoring his name, to what? Thy kingdom, what? Come, your will, what? Be done, where? On earth, even as it is, where? In heaven. Plenty of healing in heaven, plenty of salvation in heaven, plenty of redemption in heaven, plenty of kindness in heaven, plenty of justice in heaven, plenty of the attributes of God, plenty of the fruit of the Spirit, plenty of power, plenty of love, plenty of wisdom. The key is we've got to access that and bring it from that heavenly realm into the nasty now where we live. It's easy to relegate everything. Oh, one day when we fly away in glory. I mean, it's easy to be religious. I can remember way back when, you know, or, oh, for the days in glory. No, what about right now? How about, are we not living right now? And so it's like, yeah, heaven is rich, heaven is full, there's all kind of, but how can I download, access that, get it on the earth here? So we have this, again, as a model on how to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We make biblically based power declarations speaking forth the purpose of God into the earth and into our lives. He's given us access to do so. Access. Things change when we do. Jesus himself told old Peter in Matthew 16, 19, he said, I will give you the keys. What do keys do? They lock and they unlock. Peter, I'm going to give you keys. Keys speak of authority. You may think, I don't feel like I've got any authority. I feel like Barney Fife, one bullet in my pocket, and I can't even use that. Oh, no, no. God says, I'm investing you with keys, power, authority to lock, to unlock. Keys of the kingdom, Peter. Whatever you bind, Peter, on earth will be what? Bound in heaven. Whatever you loose, Peter, on earth will be loosed in heaven. We've given authority to change things. I'm telling you, time spent in prayer, when you declare what you need, something shifts in the spirit. My wife and I pray one morning a week. We leave everything be that needs to be taken care of, and we go after God, we pray. And after we pray and honor God and pray for things that are pertinent to us, we walk away with a sense of, man, we've just gotten some stuff done. The walls have gone up. Even though it's invisible, I can't put my hand on it, but I know in the spirit, man, we have gotten some stuff done. It's a powerful access. Take it, use it. Kingdom, come. Your will be done. Where? Here and here in this dark place, right there. Lord, this broken situation, hear your kingdom come. This thing, this off here, that bad spot there, there, oh God. And we begin to decree, and there's a creative power, just like in Genesis 1 when God said, light. Whew. There was a creative force. Let there be light. And out of that declaration, it manifested. In like manner, there's a creative power when we pray. We call things that are not as though they are. And we can decree what we need. But again, the tragedy is that if we're living here, when we've got this heavenly access here, and we're never downloading it, well, I just feel awkward doing that. That's just not my personality. I'm embarrassed. Well, you can be embarrassed and stay afflicted, or shake that false dignity off and go up. I don't care. Especially when you hit a desperate place, I don't care. What if someone's looking at the intersection when you're praying? I don't care. They don't have needs like I have. They don't know what I'm dealing with. I'm going to go up. You cannot keep me from going. I will go up. And it's like, well, I don't know how dignified that is. Well, then we can choose to be dignified in our affliction. But it doesn't feel real dignified, does it? So therefore, we break out of that and we appeal to a higher court. And through thrust and lift, just like a plane breaking through ugly, rainy clouds, get up into that glory realm where God exists. And then get us some and pull it back down. That's what prayer is doing constantly, going up, reaching into our heavenly bank account and pulling it down. What do you need today? Go up there by faith and get. Now, again, it's not just a little thing. My name's Jimmy. It's got to be by the word of God. The motive has got to be right. We have a relationship with the Lord. And out of that context, we go up, get what we need, and we can declare it. And that's why I journal. My journaling gives me the ability to brag on God. He came through here, 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 here. Oh, turn over. Here, here, here. Oh, let me tell you about here, 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 here. We pray to the God of answered prayer. We're not speaking into the air. A tree is judged how? You want to hear the Lord's being good? Pull me aside and ask me sometime. I'll tell you. From the minute I said yes to God, I can tell you stories about when I got married, how God provided. I can tell you how God did this, how God, and my dad would stand back and just shake it, just like, I've never seen anything like it. How do you do what you do? How did you, I mean, you're just a preacher that lives by faith. Yeah. Use that faith. Go get you some. You can go to the refrigerator yourself, you know. You're not 3 months old. You know what I'm saying? By the time you can walk, we can open the door for ourselves. Amen? It's there. It's for the asking. I don't want to bother him. Oh, are you kidding me? He's bothered when we don't bother him. People say, Pastor, I want to talk to you about something, pray, but I don't want to bother you. Like, that's what I do. We go into hurting humanity and we help. God wants to help, but he's designed it to work whereby we ask. He said, I've got it, but do you believe that I exist? Do you believe that I'm a rewarder of those that diligently seek me? Well, then come after it. Come on. Whoop. And we kind of, no, come on. And no, I want you to ask big. Well, no, come on. And he wants to pull us out to where we're large in our ask. So many things just on the other side. Mark 11, 22 and 20 through 24 talks about speaking to the mountain. Speaking to the mountain. Powerful access. I'm telling you guys, things just change when we pray, declare, ask, seek, and knock. Beverly, can I tell your story from this week? You give me permission? You want to tell it? You want me to tell it? You want me to tell it? All right. I mean, just this week. There's so much that's just for the time. I mean, stuff happens all the time. All the time. Beverly was driving this week. Have y'all ever had it where you put your Garmin on the windshield and you're driving, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, blam, that thing falls off and it just scares the whoopee out of you? Have you ever had that happen? I mean, there is nothing more freaky than a Garmin hitting the dash with a loud crash. Well, that happened to our sweet Bev this past week. And so it hit the Garmin, went into the floorboard, and so she was reaching down to get the Garmin. And when she did, she accidentally went through a red light and ran into a truck. Thank God it totaled her car, but thank God her seatbelt was on, black and blue. Broke three ribs. Three. Can you say three? When they were laying her down, when the nurse was laying her down for her EKG, that third rib, they could hear it snap. And the nurse heard it. Beverly heard it. Excruciating pain. Excruciating pain. Black and blue. We got on the phone. Lord, we appropriate your grace now. Not in the sweet by and by. Now, Lord. Can you say now, Lord? Lord, we ask you to touch her now. The doctor could reach and he could feel the bone that was broken, where it was disjointed. Got the x-rays back, saw it. Woke up the next day, no pain, no broken ribs. What a coincidence. What a coincidence. Things just happen to happen right after we just happen to pray. People will say, if you're praying for 10 people, 7 get healed, 3 don't. Well, what about the 3? I don't know. But 7 out of 10, that's a good day. That's a good day. I'm not going to obsess with the 3. That's in the mystery realm. My job is just to ask, to seek, and to knock. Our job is just to go heavenward. His job is to come earthward. Our job is to believe. His job is to intervene. We're serving an intervening God. We are not moralistic deists here today. Okay? We believe in the God that intervenes. We don't believe that he just created everything, wound it up like a clock, backed off and said, have at it. No. I'm in his face all the time. Even in my bed, I'm in his face. I'm always, I feel like I have to backslide to go to bed, but it's like I have to turn it off. But it's like he wants us there. He's an intervening God. Everything doesn't always align. And certainly there's time for God to explain. And I don't want to make this into some kind of little cotton candy and they all lived happily ever after, Pollyanna. No, there's stuff we go through. There are trials. There are difficulties. There's some things we just scratch our head and we don't know why. We don't understand. We can't comprehend. But it's a smart thing to keep going to the source. To keep going to the source. To keep going and keep running to him. Because the probability is the more we ask, the more we're going to receive. Again, in context of relationship and in context of honoring him first and foremost. Amen? But there's so much that's just right there for the asking. Oh, God makes wrong things right. I said, oh, God makes wrong things right. I mean, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. There are a lot of things we can't do by human striving. But I tell you what, we can be like that duck that looks serene on the surface of the water, and it's just sitting there, but underneath it's, you know, and a lot of times we come in and we smile, but you have no idea how much we're battling in private. Release favor in public, do your battling in private. You got a prayer closet, you got a place that you pull away and you do business, amen, because that's where our confidence is. We don't war according to the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. And so we do our business in the heavenly court. If man has served you a wrongful sentence, appeal to a higher court. Appeal to a higher court. Yes. It's fun when you know the judge. Our friend Mark Martin, who we discipled 30 years ago when he was a student at Carolina, now he's the top judge in all of North Carolina. He was appointed by the governor, and the election is in November. He's our friend, Mark Martin, his brother who's here, Matt, the attorney Matt. Well, we discipled, and so now it's kind of, that's kind of neat, knowing the top judge in the whole state of North Carolina. So when I get that speeding ticket, no, that has nothing to do with it. But at any rate, it's just comforting to know there's access to the judge of all the earth. That's just good to know. Appeal to a higher court. Yeah, well, my teacher did this. My employer did you hear it? And we stay on this carnal, earthly level, just kind of here. And there's a rah, rah, and that festering kind of carnal, worldly, demonic. And we fight fire with fire. And we respond in kind instead of blessing and cursing not. Instead of saying, the heck with all that, I don't have energy for that. That's negative energy. I'm going to go high. I'm going to get God on my spirit. I'm going to let him fill the tank. And then by faith, I'm going to bless you. And it's not of myself. It's help from above. I'm going to find the wherewithal to act like a Christian. Go figure. Go figure. I was talking to someone this past week, and they said, well, I don't even want to know about what happened. And I'm like, what are you trying to do? Be a biblical Christian or something? In other words, be innocent in what is evil. Hello. And so we want to spend our time and keep our face before him in that way. But, oh, God makes wrong things right. Can you say God makes wrong things right? We, just little old us, can introduce justice into the earth. We have the example of the persistent widow in Luke 18. Do we not remember that? The widow that just kept coming, the judge being at the door, rap-a-tap-tap, oh dear me. She just kept coming, her importunity, her persistence, and then God made the declaration in Luke 18:7-8. Well, let's just go there. I was going to read just a portion of it, but let's just read the whole narrative here. Do you have a moment? Genesis, Exodus, Luke. Go to Luke 18. Thank you. All right. Check your neighbor, make sure they have a pulse, make sure there's a breath. All right, Luke 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray, say always pray, and not give up. Now I wonder, and you can pull that down because I'm going to start here just with the beginning of the chapter. And he said, always pray and not give up. Why would he instruct them not to give up? Because the propensity of man is to what? Give up. When the Lord would come to someone through a prophet and say, be strong and courageous, it meant they were in circumstances that didn't lend itself to be strong and courageous, but to buckle in fear and discouragement. So therefore, be strong and courageous. I know everything around you has the appearance as if it's falling apart. Don't look at that. Don't take the pulse of that. Consider me, my economy. Be strong and courageous. So there's a reason here. Jesus gave this parable. They should always pray and not give up. Again, why? Because our propensity is to peter out. I tried that one time. Yeah, I tried that Christian thing one time. Yeah, back about 4 years ago. Yeah, I tried that. As if his name is Pepsi. Try me, you'll like me, you know. It's like, well, you know, he's not Pepsi. He's the king of the universe. You know, you got to stay with it just a little bit, you know. And he wants to know that you're willing to stay with him a little bit. But the propensity of man is to give up. So he said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him. Say, kept coming. Well, I prayed last week. Oh, I prayed yesterday. Did you pray today? Who knows but that the breakthrough would have come today. I mean, it's like the guy striking the rock with a mallet. Who knows which strike is going to cause that rock to shatter? You heard about the guy who found gold 1 inch beyond where the guy before him quit. There's gold in the asking. Don't quit 1 yard from the goal line. Can't just say, I'm going to be in your face. I'm going to obsess with asking. You will obsess with giving, but I'm going to be in your face. So this widow here that refused to be denied kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Verse 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Verse 7, and will not God bring about justice for whom? For his chosen ones. Anyone in here, a chosen one. Oh yeah, Revelation, the called, the faithful, and the chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Choose to be chosen, then therefore you're chosen. Because he chooses you, therefore choose to be chosen. Don't get all weirded out about predestination. It's like, he called me, I'm saying yes. There you have it. I'm the elect before the foundation of the world. Oh yeah, absolutely. But I'm choosing to be chosen. No one can snatch you out of the palm of his hand, and I'm not planning on walking out. Are you? Now unto him who is able to keep us with his keeping power. We are the chosen. Okay? So, it says here, will he keep putting them off? Excuse me. It says, and will not God bring about justice for whom? His chosen ones. Who do what? Who sure wish God would come through somehow. No, no, no. He will not keep putting off his chosen ones who do what? What do they do? Lament, complain, murmur, grunt, snort, huff, puff, don't like it. No. To what? To those who do what? Cry out to him. How often? How often does the accuser of the brethren come? Day and night. Day and night, like a gnat. I mean, mosquitoes came with a fall, I'm convinced, and gnats and all. But, I mean, dear me, I've got in-laws in Georgia. They live below the gnat line. It's obnoxious. It's a whole nother world. But at any rate, you know, it's just like the accuser is just there just jawing. So if that's the case, I've got to go up to God and see what he says, and I've got to be in his face. Night and day, day and night. Y'all know there are prayer movements going on right now that are literally doing day and night prayer. Remember the Tabernacle of David? 24/7. The Moravians years ago, Count Zinzendorf, 100-year prayer meeting around the clock, day and night. Now, I know we live lives that doesn't accommodate itself, but the point is, be before the Lord. Again, it says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Who cry out to him day and night and ask the question, will he keep putting them off? Verse 8, I love it. I tell you, he will see that they get what? Justice and how? Quickly. Can you say quickly? Oh, thank God for quickly. Oh, thank God for the suddenlies of the Lord. Oh, thank God when you've been believing and believing and hope against hope, hope believing and staying in there, staying in, and all of a sudden in God's sovereignty, all of a sudden he goes, now, now. I've seen your perseverance, now. I've seen your steadfastness over there, now. Here comes the promotion win, not here, but now. And he can measure it out perfectly because he's God. Will he not see that we get justice and get it quickly? Thank God for it. This is our hope. This is our access. This is our confidence. And see, that's why the Lord's Prayer is a prayer, yes, but it's more than a prayer. It's a model. It's a template of how to relate with God, how to honor Him, how to push through our stuff and to see wrong things made right. There is a way through our access with God. The whole point of this was getting into forgiveness. I ain't gonna get there. Are y'all okay? Y'all gave me permission to stay tuned next week. We just ain't gonna get there. That's where I felt the heart of God. But this was a preamble. Sorry, it was a 40-minute preamble. But at any rate, we're teeing up this because the forgiveness aspect that we'll unpack next week is so important that he inserted that into that apostolic prayer. It was important. Say it's important. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, we don't want this model, this prayer, this template to be just something religious and rote that we just pray and just recite in a mindless way and certainly in a heartless way. Lord, there's power on this prayer. We want to pray the prayer, yes, but we want it to be an example of how to go after you and how to go after the stuff we need in life to walk in a premium way as a believer, as a son and a daughter. Lord, you've given us an access. So I just pray where we've been, where we've dressed ourselves in any degree of false dignity, where we've been too embarrassed or where we've just been too lazy, whatever it may be. Lord, we just ask you, help us today to take this pattern and to wage war with it and to fight a good fight with it, knowing that we don't have to live beneath. And Lord, like this widow, may we refuse to be denied. May we refuse to be denied. I pray, Lord. In your heart, let's just take a couple minutes here. Just in your heart, I just want you to hallow the Lord just right now in your own heart, just for about a minute or two. Just begin to honor him in your heart right now and just love on him and just esteem his name for a moment in your own heart. Tell him of your love for him and appreciate him, all that he is. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rohi. Appreciate who he is, what he's done. Thank him. Thank him. Father's been good. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. Holy is your name. Because we live in this earth, it's a fallen earth, there's a real devil, there are people that are less than perfect, and we go through life and there's just stuff that goes on that's less than ideal. Now, just in your heart, take that access of petition and just in your heart declare, your kingdom come, your will be done in this situation that's broken or this situation that's lacking or there's something that's not where it needs to be. Now, in your heart, begin to declare, oh God, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Touch this area. Touch this broken area. Bring your shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Touch it. Your kingdom come. We invite you into those places. We invite you into those places. Lord, make wrong things right. You said, will the judge of all the earth not do right? You said you'd bring your chosen ones justice, those who cry out to you day and night. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done in this area. It's for the asking. It's for the asking. Listen, we refuse to live beneath because we didn't ask. Just a couple weeks ago, you heard Alan talk about his baby that was breech. They needed that head to be down. And from one day to the next, that baby spun around. It's for the asking. It's for the what needs shifting in your life? What needs shifting in your finances? What needs shifting in your health? What needs shifting in your relationships? What needs shifting in your own perspective of who you are, in your job, in your family? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Your kingdom come.